maybe a little.
Last time we learned, we left off on Mem Amud Aleph. The Gemara has a din of Ein Olam Osah Dov V'Shein Shaloi. What it means is the following. Let's say I'm cooking fleshiks in a pot. Someone comes into my kitchen and they take a bottle of milk from my refrigerator and they pour milk into the flesh. They're creating basa b'cholam. So you don't say Ein Olam Osah Dov V'Shein Shaloi if the milk would fall in by itself. Let's say in the refrigerator, I have fleshiks on the bottom. The milk is leaking from the top. If the milk falls in by itself, it becomes treif. Or let's say someone pours in chaza schmaltz. I'm cooking a pot of kosher vegetable soup. Someone pours in chaza schmaltz. You don't say on the most of the you don't need das adam. If the chaza schmaltz would have fallen in by itself, it would also make a treif. The only time you apply this klal on the most of the is when you require das adam to create the yisr. So let's say someone's going to designate my television. Someone's going to designate my furniture as an Avodah Zarah. He decides this is the deity, he's going to bow down to the chair. So if it's his chair and he bows down to the chair, so his machshava makes into the Avodah Zarah. And the Avodah Zarah is Asabahna. The Avodah Zarah is Asabahna. The Tikruvus Avodah Zarah is Asabahna. The Noye Avodah Zarah Tashiti, let's say there's a statue, a pestle that people worship, so the jewelry on the pestle is also Asabahna. And the Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, let's say the frying pan that they burn the incense on, or the altar that they offer the sacrifices on, all of these four things become Asabana, but you need Kavanas Agavra, Avodah Zarah, the Noye Avodah Zarah, the Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, and the Tekruvus Avodah Zarah, all four are Asabana. So someone's going to come into my house and he's going to deify the chair. So you say, Ein Olam Osah Dov V'Shein Shaloi, you're not a balabas to designate the chair as an Avodah Zarah. It doesn't belong to you. You have no shaychus. If the chair belongs to you, so you can designate it as Avodah Zarah. The same thing is by Muktzeh. Tosfos says in Perikira, Masech Shabbos, in the third Perik, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, there's a din of basis l'davar ha'osah. So if a person, let's say, has a cash register that belongs to him, and he leaves money in the cash register, or let's say it's in my house, I come home before Shabbos, I take the wallet, I take my wallet that has money in it, and I put the wallet in a drawer. Then the drawer is a question. I put the wallet on a certain table in my bedroom. I want it to stay there the whole Shabbos. So then I decide in the middle of Shabbos, I need that table. So since I put the wallet there, and I wanted it to sit there, so the table becomes a basis l'davar ha'asur. So even if I'll knock off the money with the wallet with my elbow, the table will remain a basis l'davar ha'asur. Let's say I have a guest in my home, and I give him one bedroom he should sleep in. So on Erev Shabbos he comes, he puts his wallet on a table. He's not the balabas to designate the table as a basis l'davar ha'asur. The Gemara says whether it becomes a basis or not depends whether shocheach or meniach. If it's shocheach, by accident, you forgot, you left your wallet, you left your money on that table, then the table doesn't become a basis. If it's meniach on purpose, then goes kavanas agaver to designate this table as the basis for this money, then the table becomes a basis. So then Tosfos applies the klal. Never says in the Gemara there, but Tosfos applies the rule. Ein Olam Osah Dov V'Shein Shaloi. He can't designate my table as a basis for his money. So here, so the Gemara has that din. If someone's going to designate my, and Chulin Daf Memam, and if someone's going to designate my furniture as a deity, is Eingeglückt that this is a god and this table has control over the whole world. Okay, I'm a Shugana. So, Ein Olam Osah Dov V'Shein Shaloi. All the four aspects of Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah itself, the Noye Avodah Zarah, the Mishamshe Avodah Zarah, the Tekruvus Avodah Zarah, they all need Machsheves Hagav. So, if someone else is going to designate my property, that's the Shaila by the Moros HaMachpelo, who built after Mohammed Sheshet HaYimim. So the Jewish people took back the Moros HaMachpelo. So there's an area there where the Jews daven. So the Shaila is, are you allowed to daven there? So for many years, the Arabs didn't allow the Jews to daven in the Moras HaMachpel. They only allowed them to go up until a certain step on the staircase that goes in, and they didn't allow them to go further. And after Mechemet Shesh Tayyamim, so the Jews had access. So some of the Neturi Karta Chevre, they don't want to recognize the Medina, so they don't recognize anything that was conquered by the Jewish army, by Tzal. So they only go till whatever, the 10th step. They don't recognize the fact, they don't accept the fact that everything was conquered by Tzal. So we're not talking about them. So the Shiloh is those who don't feel uncomfortable, those who are not squeamy about using something that was conquered by the Israeli army, are you allowed to use, because that building was used for Avodah Zarah. It's monotheism. Islam is monotheism, but it's not the Jewish religion. So for the Goyim who worship Islam, they're not called all the of the Avodah Zarah. But as far as Jews are concerned, it's a temple that was used for a different religion. We're not allowed to daven in a temple that they use it to pray to their to Allah. It's the same God that we have, but it's not the Jewish religion. So I'm not allowed to go into a mosque in order to daven. It won't be a violation of Avodah Zarah, but you're not allowed to daven in a mosque. So the Shaila is here. The Arabs who designated it as a mosque, that's a Shaila. Who paid for the building? Who built this building where they davened? Where the Arabs were davening and they designated it as a mosque. Was it built by Jews or was it built by Arabs? So it was built by Jews and the Arabs took it over. Then it's Gigamvit. So say it on the Mosa Dovashena Shaloi. So that was a Shaila, historical Shaila. Who built that building? Okay. It's usually assumed that it was built by Jews, and the Arabs had no right to designate it as a mosque. But that may be a different Shaila.
Because the Gemara has... I
have a sinus condition. I can't hear.
Is it also to go into a mosque without davening? Just to go into a mosque?
One is not permitted to go... The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Maseches Avodah Zarah in the first Perek, you're not even allowed to go on a highway that goes to a city that has a church in it, because in Maristain people will think that you're going to worship that religion. So the Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayos, so a Jew can ever live in, you can't live in any city. Every city has a church. So that you can't ask. You can't say you're not allowed to go on a highway that leads to Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to live in a city where there is Avodah Zarah. That we can't observe that. But you're not allowed to go inside a church, inside the sanctuary of a church, even not during prayer services. It's not permissible. It just says in Shulchan Aruch, it's also because of Maris Ayin. Thank you. It's also because of Maris Ayin. So it says if a person wants to hide from the enemies to save his life, say if he runs into the church not during prayer services, but pikuach nefesh is mutter. But during prayer services, it says you're not even allowed to go into a church if you're not going to pray, even though you're not praying. Many Jews during the war saved their lives by they knew how to say the Lord's Prayer, so they prayed along with the goyim. That's actual avodah zarah. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not even allowed to go into a church during prayer services, even if you're not going to pray, to save your lives. You can't judge people. Look, the people, the war years, where everything was crazy. But in Shulchan Aruch, on the books, it says you're not allowed to go into a church even to save your life during prayer services. But if it's not the sanctuary, it's a side room. So it says, let's say they have elections in Washington Heights. They have elections, so they have different parts of Washington Heights vote in different locations. So many people vote in the building that's a church on Fort Washington on 181st Street. But the election, the voting doesn't take place in the sanctuary. It takes place in a separate building, and there's a social hall. And the social hall is a separate entrance. You don't go through the building that has a sanctuary. On many locations, they have schools for problematic children. They have for autistic children or something like that. So a lot of times, these schools are located in a church, because they have an empty room. So strictly speaking, if it has a separate entrance, you don't go through the entrance where the people go to worship. So strictly speaking, that is permissible. One can avoid it; he should. But strictly speaking, that is permissible.
Yeah. He was wondering about a mosque, which is not the same thing as a church. His question was about a mosque.
A mosque is not considered. It's not Avodah Zarah. it's monotheistic from their perspective. They're not worshipping Avodah Zarah, but from our perspective, it is a different religion. Let's say a Nochri will hold up a gun to me and he'll say, "Eat the chazer, or be mechal Shabbos, or I'm going to kill you." So if it's bifrahesia, then the din is that you harg bal yavra on any avera. Bifrahesia means in the presence of 10 Jewish men, then you harg bal yavra. Or if it's b'shas hashmari, even mitzina, the din will be a harig bal yavra. But if he wants me to worship Avodah Zarah, so then even b'tzina, even shalab b'shas hashmad, you're not allowed to. So let's say they'll hold up a gun to my head and they'll say, eat the chazer. There's nobody else there. It's b'tzina and there's no shas hashmad. So they'll hold a gun to my head and say, eat the chazer, because since Yoshke came on the scene, the laws of the Torah are not binding anymore. So the commentary says in Shulchan Aruch, that's the equivalent of Avodah Zarah, because if I'm eating the Chazer, I'm going along with what he said, that since Yoshke came on the scene, the laws of the Torah are not binding anymore. So that's the equivalent of Avodah Zarah. So if a person is going to convert to Islam, true, it's a monotheistic religion, but Islam believes that the Prophet Muhammad came along and he changed all the laws of the Torah. They believe in the Novi Asheker. The Christians believe in the Novi Asheker. Since Yoshke came along, the laws of the Torah no longer apply. And the Muslims believe that since Muhammad came along, the laws of the Torah no longer apply. So that's the equivalent of Avodah Zarah. Because to convert to Islam, that per se is monotheism. But they say the laws of the Torah no longer apply. So that's the equivalent of Avodah Zarah. So because it's not actual Avodah Zarah, it's monotheism. So that's why the Magen Avraham says the following difference. The Gemara says, let's say the Nochrim use the building as a church for Christianity, where they worship the Trinity. Some of the Christians don't believe in the Trinity. They believe that Yoshka was a prophet, but they don't believe that he's part of the deity. And others believe they worship Yashka also. They believe that he's a shutif in whatever that means by them. He's a shutif, he's part of the board of directors in the deity. So if you have a church, which is a Trinitarian church, so you're not allowed to use that later on as a Beis HaKnesses. Unless they made major changes. Even though Mechuber doesn't become Osa Bahanoa, we learned the Gemara here had the Drasha. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah has, and the Gemara here is assuming it. Abeit Yabdin is Kalan Kaimus Hashav Dusham Agaimus Alahem Al Haharim. So you have to destroy Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. You have to destroy Avodah Zarah all over the world. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a double chiyuv. Abeit Yabdun means Tzorach L'Shar Shachreo. When Eretz Yisrael is under Jewish control, so we have an obligation to search out any place where there's Avodah Zarah, and you have to destroy. In Chutz La'aretz, it's not our responsibility, even if I buy a lot of homes in the area, and I'm mechuyav to search out, to look for the Avodah Zarah. If I find Avodah Zarah in one of the locations that belongs to me, I have a mitzvah to burn it. But I'm not mechuyav to go, Abeit Yabdin, to go research the whole neighborhood, and to go in the middle of the night and to go burn Avodah Zarah in someone else's house. But in Eretz Yisrael, that is the din. If you're afraid that we don't do it in Eretz Yisrael now, that's all they need. They're going to go search out all the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. So all the Arab countries, the whole United Nations, will gang up against Eretz Yisrael, more so than they do now. And all the Arab countries will make a homochama against the Jewish people. So you're not mechuyev. It's not your harig b'yavar. You're not mechuyev to lose whatever you have in order to fulfill that mitzvah. If it's a Yiddish government and everything is, it's b'yecholteinu, so then you have such a din. The din of Eretz Yisrael, the din of Bir Avodah Zarah applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, the din is Torah L'Shar V'Shachreya. You have to search further for it. Yeshua ben Nun, when he conquered Eretz Yisrael, started to fulfill that mitzvah of Bir Avodah Zarah. And then the Midrashim say that he was the one who composed the Tfilo Aleinu L'Shabech L'Adon HaKol, Shelo Osan K'Goyehu HaRatzos, that they worship Avodah Zarah, we don't. This was the Shevach and the Tefillah that he composed, over the fulfillment of the mitzvah, Bir Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. They were destroying Avodah Zarah after Maimon HaSinai also, but that wasn't to the same extent as the mitzvah Bir Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah comments on the Pasuk. Abeit Yabdin, it's a mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah. If they built a church on top of a mountain, then you have to destroy the Avodah Zarah, you have to destroy the church. But you don't have to destroy V'loi Ha'harim Aleihem. If they deified the mountain, even though the mountain belonged to them, but the Mechuber doesn't become Masa Bano. That's what we learned a few weeks ago. The Mechuber and Balachayim don't become Masa Bano. The Rambam said Mechuber and Balachayim is exactly the same thing, and Rashi and Taisa said they're not the same. One is more inclusive than the other. Balachayim, it's called Avodah Zarah, but it's Mutabano, and Mechuber is not even called Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam said they're exactly the same thing. The both of them are examples of the Klal, Ebo Tvisus Yad Odom. The Mechuber doesn't really depend on Mechuber. If you have apples growing on a tree, the apples fall down. Or you have a hen lays an egg. Nobody picked up the egg yet. Nobody picked up the apples yet. So that's not Mechuber. That's not Mechuber Lekarka Dina Kekarka. And yet the Gemara says, the Rambam Shulchan Aruch quoted Din, that the eggs that were laid by the hen, that no human being picked it up yet, if a Nochri worships, whoever worships, deifies that, that doesn't become Asav Anoah. It only becomes Asav Anoah if it's man-made. The Avodah Zarah has to be man-made. So the tree, the Mechuber, and the Balechaim, the animals, are not man-made. So
Asherah,
the Mishnah has, how can Asherah? It says you have to Asherem Tisrufum Boesh. You have to burn all the Asherahs. How could that be? But the Asherah is Mechuba Lekarka. So the Mishnah gives different suggestions, the Machlokes Satanoim. So some say if the Asherah was planted, L'shem Asherah. So that's called Yeshbo Tvisus Yaron, if he planted it, L'shem Kach. Other Tanoim say not only if he planted it, what if there was a tree that was growing for years, and then the Nochri decides to trim the tree, to make it into a beautiful Avodah Zarah. So by trimming the tree, it's also, that's a Machlokes Satanoim. Is that called Yeshbo Tvisus Yaronim? So the details are a Machlokes Satanoim, when? But it's Stam, a tree that was neither planted L'shem Avodah Zarah, nor was it trimmed L'shem Avodah Zarah. So the Choladeis, such an Asher does not become Masa Bano, because that's Mechuber, right? So the Pasuk says, Hahorim Elohim, if the Nochrim worship the mountains, so the mountain does not have to be destroyed. But the Gemara raises a suffix, maybe Lagavoya becomes awesome. Maybe you're not allowed to use it, that mountain, for the Beis HaMikdash. So how did they have the right to build the Beis HaMikdash and Har HaMoria? How did they know that historically, for the days of Adam Rishon, from the time, when did they start to worship Avodah Zarah? It says, O Asul Chalikra B'Shem Hashem.
Enosh.
Enosh. They started to worship Avodah Zarah. So who knew the history? Maybe Har Maria, maybe that mountain was once worshipped L'Avodah Zarah. So true, it doesn't become Asa B'Hanoah L'Hedyot, but L'Akavoya, the Gemara has a suffix, maybe it becomes Asa B'Hanoah. So Tosfos and Avodah Zarah quotes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, they had B'Nevuah. When they built the Beis HaMikdash and Har Maria, there had been a vua that mountain had never, they worshipped other mountains in Eretz Yisrael, but that mountain was never worshipped L'Shem Avodah Zarah. So even though Mechuber does become mate, it's an Ibaya, a Sofik in the Gemara, where the Mechuber becomes Posel Agavaya, but Hara Maria we know that not. So let's say there's a Lulav tree, or there's an Esrik tree that belongs to a non-Jew, and a non-Jew worships the tree. So true, there's Sroigim and the Lulavim Amuta Banah, But are you allowed to use it l'shem mitzvah? So maybe lagavoya is macham. Lagavoya means to use it as a beis hamikdash. Maybe lagavoya is macham, but the mitzvahs, the Gemara has everything as a suffix in the Gemara. Maybe the mitzvah also not. So if you know that there's a tree that was worshipped by Yovdei Avodah Zarah, you can't use the lulav and the esrig for a dvar mitzvah. So that's why the Magen Avraham has the din. Let's say there was a church that was used for Avodah Zarah purposes. A Trinitarian church where they talk and pray to Yoshke. So that's actual Avodah Zarah. So you're not allowed to convert such a church into a shul. People think that it's a big mitzvah when you take a church and you convert it into a shul. That's mamish bi'ur Avodah Zarah. So it's not considered a mitzvah. You're not allowed to do that. And even b'di'evit, there are churches in New York that were converted into shuls. So Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva, even b'di'evit, apparently there's some kind of a church in the Lower East Side. So he writes that a shul, he says he's not even allowed to daven b'di'evit in the shul because it's an ibayd alev sheet in the Gemara. Unless they made major changes in the building. They left the outline of the building, they left, but they changed all the rooms in the building. So then there's room to be makel. So the Magen Avraham says, but what if it was a mosque that was used for Islam? And Islam, from our perspective, Islam is avodah zarah. If a Jew converts to Islam, what he's saying in effect is that the laws of the Torah no longer apply. That's like the fellow holds the gun to my head and says, eat the chazer, because since Muhammad came along, the laws of the Torah are no longer binding. So that's Yehorek Val Yaver, because eating the chazer is not just an aveir of chazer. You're agreeing with that statement that the laws of the Torah no longer apply. That's equivalent. Kfir is the equivalent of avodah zarah. But to convert a mosque into a shul, that's permissible. So let's say if you have a Unitarian Christian church, so to convert such a church into a shul, that would be permissible. But if it's a Trinitarian church, that you're not allowed to convert into a shul, unless you make major changes. To buy the church is also a problem. You're not permitted to donate money, l'avodah zarah. So now there's a machlokes, the Ran on the Rif quotes a machlokes of Rishon. What if you're not donating money to the church? Let's say my neighbor is very friendly with me, and he's raising money for the church, and he wants me to donate money. So the din is you're not allowed to make a donation to the church. In Europe, when the Jews were pressured that they had to donate money to the church, so they would donate money for the Beis HaKiseh. You're allowed to give money for the Beis HaKiseh, even if it's in a church. If you know for sure that your money is not going, okay, so that was a heta. Okay. But you're not allowed to donate money for a church. So the shaila is, what if, let's say, the church owns property, and they want to sell the property. The property is worth a lot of money. Or the Catholic Church owns much of Manhattan, and they rent it out as office space. So I'm going to pay rent to the Catholic Church. But that's not a donation. If I would rent from a Jewish landlord, he would also charge me. Maybe he'd charge me more. Maybe charge me the same. Maybe charge me more. So is that a violation of donating money to the church? So that's a machlokes in Rishonim, and the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that it's not permissible. That too is considered giving money to the church. There was one year, I remember, there's a Catholic school in my neighborhood, St. Elizabeth's, a parochial school for the Catholic, where they teach Shabbat Azar. So one year, the children were going around ringing all the doorbells. They were selling cookies to raise money for the Catholic school. So all the religious Jews had a teretz. The cookies are not kosher, so we're not allowed to buy the cookies. So the next year they were selling OU cookies. So they wanted us to buy the cookies. So then you have to tell them we can't buy the cookies because the proceeds go to support the church. They were charging less than it costs in the store. It was a metziah. They were charging less. But that's the machlokes of Rishonim. Are you allowed to pay money to buy real estate or to buy cookies? You know, the money, the proceeds from the sale on the cookies is going to go to support the church. So that's the accepted opinion, is that you're not allowed to. So that's a shaila, let's say. You want to convert a Unitarian church or a mosque, you want to convert it into a shul, so strictly speaking as mutter, but I'm going to buy directly from the church, and the church is going to make money, going to make a fortune of money on the sale of the real estate. So that's a problem. Buying the church is a problem. That's a problem, yeah.
What is the status of a meditation room, which you often have in hospitals, where you have different groups having some kind of service, and sometimes the staff goes into daven mincha or whatever it happens to be?
A meditation room means whoever wants to pray to whatever religion can use that room. Okay, so it was never designated specifically for avodah zarah. The Jewish religion, the people who subscribe to the Jewish religion have the same right to use it as the non-Jews. They have to have paraphernalia from Christianity there in the room, even if they cover it up when the Jews are going to pray. So that's not right to daven there. But if they take everything out, they put everything away in a closet, because the room officially is non-sectarian. It's used for prayer for whatever religion you believe in. So that was never really designated as a church. Okay, that would be okay. So there is a din. Ein ana masa dava sheinu shaloi. So the Gemara came up with a chiddush that even though if I bow down to your furniture, I declare that I consider this furniture of yours as a deity, so it doesn't become usur. Or let's say I want to give to Kruvis something that belongs to you, when designated as the Kruvis, again, it doesn't belong to me. And it's not like basa b'chola, but treifas, that it becomes also without anybody's machshava. Even it happens by itself. But it is zori, you need kavanas agavra. So the Gemara says, but by tikrubis the din is that you need zrika hamishtaberes. The din is, let's say there's an avodah zarah of the most of the makil. They worship this avodah zarah by using a cane. So what do they do with the cane? If they flip the cane but they don't break it, or they give, let's say they offer a salami to the avodah zarah, they take a whole salami, they put it on the altar. So that salami did not become asabano mikam tikrubis. It only becomes asabano if you shecht it. If you cut the salami, or you break shiber makal b'fana, if you break the stick, you need a zrika hamishtaber. So let's say you pour water, or you pour wine for avodah zarah. The boys in the Morgenstern dormitory in the yeshiva say, years ago, they said, around 25 years ago, they said, when they would look out their window, there was a nochri who used to pour wine on a mizbeach on Laurel Hill Terrace. They could see from their window, this guy was pouring nisach hayayim for avodah zarah every day. I remember we used to go shopping for them when we had little children. Our little children now have their own little children. But when our children used to be little, so it cost a fortune for shoes. So my wife had some place on the Lower East Side where they sold children's shoes at a bargain rate. So I would stand outside in the street and she would be buying the shoes for the children. So there was a storefront there where they used to have a mizbech. They used to pour wine for avodah zarah. There's still nisach hayayin for avodah zarah bizman is in New York City, in Washington Heights, across the street from the yeshiva, and on the east side there's avodah zarah all over the world. You don't have to go to Indonesia, you have to go all the way to Japan to find avodah zarah. It's by us. So the Gemara says that if you're pouring wine or pouring water for avodah zarah, that's called zrika mishtaberes, because when it's sitting in the cup it's like one unit. When you pour it, so it separates into tiny different droplets. That's called zrikas hadam, zrikas hamayim, zrikas hayayin, zrika hamishtaberes. It separates to be tiny particles. If you don't have a zrika hamishtaberes, then it doesn't become asabano. So the Gemara says, Haisa, that's where we started last week. Haisa behem eschaber revutza, right in the middle of Mem Amid Aleph and Chulin. The Gemara quotes Rav Huna. The Gemara has got to have a whole discussion. Is he right or is he wrong? Rav Huna comes up with a chiddush, despite the fact that ein oda moiser dov sheinu shaloi, if your behema is sitting in front of an avodah zarah, and I take a knife and I shecht it as tikruvis for that avodah zarah, so the Rav Huna says the chiddush, it does become masa bano. What happened to the din? Ein oda moiser dov sheinu shaloi. So the Gemara, aydei maiser oda moiser. Since you did a peula, so it does become masa bano. The behemoth doesn't belong to me, it belongs to someone else. The behemoth is a vutza lefnei avodah zarah. Given shoshocha basim in echod, shchita, we're learning chulin. So we learned shchita on behemoths usually requires kana and evasion. You need the two simon. Shchita on a knife is either the kana or the evasion. So here, for avodah zarah purposes, when you shecht the behemoth avodah zarah, when you shecht it, avodah zarah, that's like a zrika hamishtaberes. If I just put the salami in front of the avodah zarah, I give the behemah donation to the avodah zarah, but it didn't cut anything, it didn't break anything, it didn't break its neck yet. So that's not yet tikruvis. Tikruvis has to have zrika hamishtaberes. When I shecht it, that's a zrika hamishtaberes. So how much do you have to shecht? Rav Huna says a chiddush. Let's say it's my own behemah, not someone else's behemah, my own behemah. So if I just put the behemah in front of the avodah zarah, it doesn't yet become a tikruvis. If I deify the behemah, that it's my behemah, if I deify the behemah, then it'll a balichaim don't become asabano, but it'll become pasul agavaya. But you won't be able to be makreb as a carbon in Beis HaMikdash. But kol zman it's alive, balichaim don't become asabano. But when I shecht it, so even if I didn't shecht both simonim, I shecht simin echad, either the kana or the veshet, asara. So not only is that true of my own behemah, when I shecht it, it becomes asabano, it's no longer considered balechaim. According to the Rambam, it's very simple why. The whole din of balechaim and mechub is all one din, eibot tvisas yarodim. They're not two different din. Din is eibot tvisas yarodim. But if it's a building, that was a man-made building that was built l'shem avodah zarah, so even though a building is mechub l'karka, din is kikarka, but a building was built l'shem avodah zarah. Yesh bo tvisas yarodim, or a tree and asher that was planted l'shem avodah zarah. So then it is also b'hano. So here also, if you have a behemah and your own behemah and you shecht it l'shem avodah zarah, that's called yesh bo tvisas yarodim. Or the same thing, let's say you have a karka. So the person deifies his own karka. So karka haharim alahayim al haharim alay haharim alahayim. He deifies his own karka. So mechuber is name, but tvisas yadam does not become asabana. But what if he's chafa baborishich and amaris? He digs. He digs in order to set up some kind of a system that this should be beautiful for an avodah zarah. So if he does a pool of bidei adam, then it's called yesh bo tvisas yadam. So then the mechuber lekarka also becomes asabana lehedyot. Not only lagavaya. If he's not deifies the karka, he worships the karka. So then the Gemara says it becomes pasal lagavaya. Doesn't become asaban ola hedya. But if chafa baborishich and maris, then the karka will become asaban ola. Like if you shecht the animal, even if the animal is still alive, but you shecht even simen echad, then it does become asaban ola. So that's balechai usually don't become asaban ola, but if asaban maisa does. And even though ein on a masa dovish ein shaloi, my kavanas hagaver doesn't relate to your property. That's if I don't do a maisa to it. But if shochat bo simen echad asara, shochat simen echad makes an exception to the rule of balechaim don't become asabano. It's still alive. The animal is still alive and kicking. Even though I shecht one simen, it does. Be, and the Gemara is going to say simen echad lav davke. Even miktsas of a simen echad. Even miktsas of a simen echad. Let's say a kana. An animal can walk around for years with a chatzi kona pogum. Aveshet, the nekuvas aveshet, the food pipe, even a nekev mashu, the nekuvas aveshet makes it either a treif or an avela, that's a whole pilpul in the Rambam. How bare does a nekuvas aveshet become? But a nekev in the kona, in the windpipe, is only makes it, passels it either an avela or treifa, only passes if it's roiv. Psukas hagageris. Psukas hagageris means beruba. If roiv, of the gageris, of the kona is cut. If you have a chatzi kona pogum, the animal can walk around for a long time. So let's say somebody shechts a little bit, one third of the kona l'shem avodizor. The animal is still alive. It's going to live for many years. That's enough to aser it b'hanot. He did tikruvis on a balchai, and it's called a zrika hamishtaberis. He did a maisa, and it becomes masa. I don't know, miktsas. Simen echad is lavdavka. The Gemara is going to say b'verish. Even less than simen echad. Even though it doesn't make it into an avela or a trefa, it's enough to aser it. So not only Rav Huna says, not only does it aser if the animal belongs to me, even if it's dovishen and shaloi. Normally you say, eidon was a dovishen and shaloi. My machshavet doesn't relate to your property if it's only machshavet. But if I did a maisit to demonstrate my machshavet, shochet ba simen echad, I shechted it asor. It's an exception to the rule of eidon was a dovishen and shaloi. So the Gemara says, what is the Deistan? Rav Huna is from the later Amoraim. What is the Deistan? So Rav Yechanan was the first generation of Amoraim. Rav Yechanan was the Talmud of Rav Yudah Anasi. Rav Shmuel, Rav Yechanan, they were all together. Rav Chia, they were all together. Talmidim of Rav Yudah Anasi. Gemara says, Sova lo, ki hodo amaru lo, amar Rav Yechanan. Rav Huna holds like the following member of Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Huna lived in Babel. They never saw each other, but he heard of Rav Yechanan. They used to say over Rav Yechanan's dinim in Babel. So Rav Huna's opinion was an extension of what he heard in the name of Rav Yechanan. Namely, even though if I bow down to someone's animal, it doesn't become asaba noa, but asaba maisa asora. If you shecht it, if you did a maisa to it, so my machshavas avod zara relates to your behemoth because asaba maisa, and you don't need a maisa rabba of shechting both simonim, the kona and the veshet, maisa zuto, a smaller maisa also is enough to asaba noa. Even niktsas of simenech. So the Gemara says they had a kasha and Rav Huna. It's Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. Rav Nachman and Rav Huna were contemporaries. So yes, them a kasha. There's a brisa. There's a din of a chi of chatos. The Torah says if a person does an aver b'shoigeg, he has to bring a korban chatos. So what aver did he do b'shoigeg? What, he cheated in business b'shoigeg? He probably cheated in business b'mezer. He spoke Lashon Hara b'shoigeg. He probably spoke Lashon Hara b'mezer. But let's say he did it b'shoigeg. So if a person cheats in business b'shoigeg, or he speaks Lashon Hara b'shoigeg, he doesn't bring a korban chatos. The korban chatos is only if he violated an aver b'shoigeg. The nature of the aver is such that if he would have violated the aver b'mezer, he would have been chayv kares. So the rule is culture is done a kares in shigigosa chatos. But you talk Lashon Hara, that's a serious aver. A cheating business also. Serious aver, but that's not chayiv koris. There are averes for which you chayiv misa. Let's say, mako avivima, mekal avivima, you chayiv misa, but you're not chayiv koris. There are people who are chayiv koris, not chayiv misa. that people chay misa not chay koris. Let's say a woman doesn't go to mikveh and she lives with her husband. There's an isa koris there, but there's no isa misa. And mekalal avivima mako avivima idem zaminim. These are cases where there's misa, but there's no koris. So the rule is, cultures don't occur is ishigigasachatas. One who violates an aver b'shogeg, the nature of the aver was such that if he would have violated it b'mezid, there would have been a chiyav kares. And then if you violated b'shogeg, yichayv chatas. So what if he did one activity, which is a triple header? By doing one pu'ula, he violated three averas. So do you say, let it bring one chatas and have a kapar for all the three averas? Or do you say, no, you need chiluk chatas? So the Gemara says, a lot of times there is chiluk chatos. Many times you be chayiv many chatos. So this is a brisa there. Mishnayos give examples. Yeshech al achila achas. Mishnah increases. A person eats one kazais of food and is chayiv so many chatos. So here's a brisa that goes along that line. There's an avera on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do lametes tovis malachas. So one of the lametes tovis malachas is a sheichet, if you kill an animal. A sheichet is one of the malachas. So if someone is mechal Shabbos b'sheigeg with a malachat deraisa, he has to bring a chatas. Another avera is if you shech the korban chutzla mesa migdash, chutzla azora. Let's say today in America, they have slaughterhouses where they have Jewish shochtim. Shech Beimah, so they have to check to make sure that none of those animals came from a Jewish farm. There are Jewish people who own farms in America, animal farms. And a lot of times the cows will give birth, the first Vlad will be a Zohar, will be a male. So there's no Beis HaMikdash today. You can't bring the Karbonis and the Beis HaMikdash, but a Bechor Beimah Torah is Kodesh Me'elah, is Kodesh Me'rechem. You don't have to be Magdash. It's a mitzvah l'hagdisha. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, it's a mitzvah. You should bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. You should declare, Takdish l'Hashem. Kol ha'b'chay she'elavar b'b'chor chatzocha, Takdish l'Hashem al-kecha. You should declare it's Kodesh b'kdushas b'chor. But even if you don't declare, it's Kodesh me'elav anyway. And the din of shchut echutz applies b'zman hazeh too. You're not allowed to shecht. Even though the din is that a b'chor b'hem Torah needs havo asmokaim. Havo asmokaim means there is certain... Let's say someone's Magdish Korban Pesach in New York. Someone has an animal, designates it as a Korban Pesach. So you have to wait till they build the Beis HaMikdash and fly the animal to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash to be marketed. When you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, that does not enhance the Kedusha of the animal. You have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. There is certain dinim, there's a din B'chor Behem Torah and Bikurim and Maisa Sheni. Arturim havo asmokim. Havo asmokim, the definition of havo asmokim means when you bring it to Yerushalayim, it enhances the Kedusha. Kol zman that b'chor b'hem Torah is in chutz l'aretz, it doesn't have the full Kedusha. When you bring it, let's say a b'chor b'hem Torah is born in Eretz Yisrael somewhere, so it doesn't have the full Kedusha until you bring it to Yerushalayim. When you bring it to Yerushalayim, then the Kedusha becomes completed. So that's called havo asmokim. So the psukim in Chumash, the Gemara learns that there are three in Yoni Kedusha that require havo asmokim. One is Bechor Behem Torah, wherever it's born in the world, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim to enhance the Kedusha. The second one is Maisa Sheni, and the third one is Bikurim. So the Gemara learns that from Psukim. Gemara Makis, we learned it here when we learned Makis, Gemara Zvachim, that you can't have havo asmokim from Chutz L'Oretz. Bikurim only applies in Eretz Yisrael anyway. So the Gemara in Bava Basra says Ad Moscha Chutz Loretz is not Ad Moscha. So the whole din of Bikurim doesn't apply. Maaseh Sheni also doesn't apply in Chutz Loretz. But Neter Revai, many Rishonim hold, does apply. Orlo, if you plant a tree, you plant a bush, so the fruits or the berries that grow the first 3 years, sometimes nothing will grow. But if fruits and berries grow the first 3 years, so the Rasa Bano. What about the berries that grow the fourth year? So the din of Orla b'chutz l'aretz is an exception to the rule. It's an agricultural mitzvah, so all the agricultural mitzvahs at least b'aretz, are supposed to only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So Orla b'chutz l'aretz is an exception to the rule. There's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether it's a din d'oraisa, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, or a din d'rabbanan. But bottom line, Orla b'chutz l'aretz applies. What's a din of the fourth year? Is there a din of revaya not? So that's a machlokes harishonim. The Tosfos quotes from the Gaonim, from the Shiltas, that the din of Revai even applies in Chutz L'Aretz. Whatever has a din of Orla, the first 3 years, has a din of Revai on the fourth year. And the Rambam has a whole attack against the Gaon, and he says that it's not correct. So the din is, even if Ravai would apply in Chutz Lortz, like Oral applies in Chutz Lortz, even if Ravai does apply, but you can't have Havoas Mokum. And Bechor Be'ema Torah, let's say a Jewish farmer in America has a farm, and the cows give birth the first time, and they give birth to a male, a Zohar, so it has Kedushas Bechor Be'ema Torah. So even if you fly it to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring it to Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to be makrovit, because a Bechor is one of the three things that's torn Havaras Mokum, and we learn that from Sukkim. There's no Havaras Mokum from Chutz Lortz. If a person would be Magdish, a Korban Oiler, a Korban Shlomim, a Korban Chatas, a Korban Pesach, any other kind of a Korban, that has the full Kedusha. You don't need Havaras Mokum. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim to be Makrovit, but that's not called Havaras Mokum. Havaras Mokum is a concept that means when, by bringing it to Yerushalayim, the Kedusha is completed, the Kedusha is Nigmeris. See here, the Gemara is talking, the fella shechting a behema on Shabbos is a malacha deraisa, so he shechted the behema b'shege, so he's chayv chatos v'chilu Shabbos. A behema happened to be a chatos, and he shechts it chutz la'azor. So one who shechts b'mezid korbanos chutz la'azor is chayv karetz. So if he shechts shchutei chutz, he shechts a korb chutz la'azor b'shege, he's chayv another chatos. And it happens that he's shechting it l'avodah zorah. So one who worships avodah zorah b'mezid, the mezid be'edim and behasro is chayv mishus bezin chayv skila, and if he does it the mezid be'edim be'li hasro, then it's chayv kari. So one who worships avodah zorah b'shogeg is chayv achatos. It's a different kind of achatos. Normally, there's a if a person there are lamed vav krisus hamuras batora. The first mishnah increases lists off there are 36 averes which you chayv kari. So on all of the averes, if a person eats chelev b'shegeg, he eats dam b'shegeg, he's bachal shabbos b'shegeg, he eats the yom kippur b'shegeg, he eats chametz b'pesach b'shegeg, all of the list of the 36 averes, shchut echut b'shegeg, he's chayv what we call achatas kfu. He bring a kizba o se'ira. If he worships avodah zarah b'shegeg, that's a different parasha. That's in the end of chumash b'midbar. It's a different carbon. It's a different carbon. So here the fella did one, she shechts one animal on Shabbos, and it's a triple header. He's in violation of three averes. It happened to be Shabbos, so he did a chilu Shabbos. It happens to be shchut echutz, because it was a korban chatas, and he shechts it b'chutz. The Gemara is going to discuss why does the Braisa say what korban it is. The avera of shchut echutz doesn't make a difference. With the chatas, oilo, shlomim, kachim kalim, kachim kachim, why does it mention that it's a chatas? That's straight. Should it say a shechet korban? Shechet korban b'shabbos b'chutz. Why do you give a mashal of a chatas? But the three averis that he violated b'shoigeg are avodah zorah b'shoigeg, shchut echutz b'shoigeg, and chilu shabbos b'shoigeg. So it's chayv shalosh chatos. That's called chiluk echatos. You don't say let him bring one chatas, it'll be mechaper and everything. He's obligated to bring three chatos. Fine. So why does that contradict? Why does that contradict what Rav Huna said? Rav Huna was talking about ain on the Moshe Dovish ain Shaloi unless I day Maisa, and the Maisa doesn't require Maisa Rabba. Maisa Zuta is also enough. If you would require Maisa Rabba, you would need that he has to shecht both the Kona and the Veshin to do a full Shechita. Rav Huna said Maisa Zuta if he shecht Simen Echad. The Gemara understood Simen Echad is Lavdavke. Once you don't require the whole Shechita, you don't require Shnei Simonim. So even a half of a simon, if you cut half of the kona, is also it'll aser it banu. So why is there a contradiction from over here? What's the kasha? Oh, so Rav Nachman explains what the kasha. Rav Nachman asked this price as a kasha against Rav Huna. The e amre, and if you are right, if Rav Huna is right, that simon echad is enough to aser. So lav davke simon echad. Simon echad is not enough to be mata the beima for shchita in each nei simonim. So if Simen Echad is a good, so Mikzas HaSimen is also good. So he tells us, Kivin Shoshochab HaSimen Echad, Asara, if you are right, that Simen Echad, Rav Huna is right, Simen Echad is enough, Ashchut Techutz, Loi Lachayev, why should it be Chayev Koris? For Shchut Techutz, why? Mechatech Be'ofer Hu. Why is Mechatech Be'ofer Hu? What exactly is the Kasha? It's very unclear. So this Gemara appears in Pesachim also, it says on the side. Same Gemara appears in Pesachim. So Rashi gives you the whole explanation here. The din is that you only chayv on shchut echutz. The pasuk says there's a din of shochet b'chutz and there's a din of mala b'chutz. Shochet b'chutz is shech the carbon chutz lebeis hamikdash. Or let's say there was a carbon that was nishchat in the beis hamikdash, and he makes a mizbeach chutz lebeis hamikdash and he's mala b'chutz. That's the name of the perik in the end of the zvach perik hashochet v'hamala. If a person both shechts an animal, he has a carbon, he shechts it chutz la'azara, and he burns it on an altar, chutz la'azara, so he's chayiv two chatos, one for shechet b'chutz, one for mala b'chutz. So the Gemara there, and the Mishnah is there, at Perek HaShechet v'amala, give all the details of this din, of shchut chutz. So the Pasuk of Chumash says, if a person shechts a carbon chutz la'azara, v'al pesach al moed lo hevio, he was supposed to have brought it to oil moed. Oil moed is the heichal. You have the azara, and then you have in the azara, you have in the second half, the back half of the azara, you have the heichal with the kodesh hakadoshim in the back and the heichal in the front. So pesach oil moed is the front of the heichal. He's supposed to shech the karbonis in the azara pesach oil moed. Is machu pasuach. You're not supposed to shech karbonis before they open up the gates. You're not supposed to shech karbonis even in the azara, even in the beis hamikdash. Kodim psichas dalsa sahechal. When we learned Erevin, that was on the first davin Erevin, the beis hamaralav. Gemara quoted that din. That if you shech the shlamim, kodim she niftuchu dalsa sahechal, the carbon is pasul. So the pasuk says, isha sheyichchat. If a person shechts the carbon outside of the azara, and he should have brought it al pesach al moed, and he didn't. So the Torah says that he's chayv koris, and it's understood that if he violated b'shogeg, he'll be chayv achatas. So the Mishnah say that's only if the carbon is roi lov al pesach al moed. If it's a kosher carbon, let's say the carbon has a balmum, carbon has a mum, and you can't be makriv it in oil moed. Or let's say the carbon is not yet 8 days old. You're not allowed to be makriv a carbon before the eighth day, so it's not roi lov al pesach al moed. Or let's say this carbon, I shechted the mother of the carbon of the vlad today, so there's an isa osav es bno. So you're not allowed to shech this carbon today. You have to wait till tomorrow. So that's called a mechus hazman. This carbon cannot be offered today for some reason or another. So it's not roi lov al pesach al moed. So then the din is that there's no chiyuv koris. So the Gemara effect akasha over here. This is the Gemara's kasha. If Rav Huna is right that shochet basimen echad is enough, then simen echad is lav davke, even mikzas hasimen. So the Gemara's taina is kiven the shochet vapurta, when he starts to shecht a little bit, it already becomes osur b'hano because of tikruvus. If it's osur b'hano because of tikruvus, it's no longer roi lov al pesach al moed. And on shchut echutz, you want a chayiv, if you did a shchita, you shecht the kodesh neveshet. If you only shecht a miktas, that's not called shchut echutz. If I shoot, let's say there's a carbon that I'm supposed to be makriv in the beis hamikdash, and instead of makriv in the beis hamikdash, I shoot it and I kill it. That's not shchut echutz, only if he shecht it with the kodesh neveshet. So the Gemara asks, kiven shochet bapurto, when he starts to shecht it, he shechts a little bit. L'shema v'rizara. He had in mind l'shema v'rizara from the very outset. Maybe he didn't have in mind from the outset. Maybe he decides later to make it v'rizara. But if the case is the way it sounds from the brisa, that he had in mind from the very beginning, Asher chatas bach b'shavas b'chutz l'avodas kacham chayv shalosh chatos, sounds like he had in mind from the very outset l'shema v'rizara. So when he starts cutting the kone, he starts to cut a mashu in the kone, the whole thing becomes asabano. So when he continues, that's not called a shchitei chutz. He never shechted the kone neveshet. The rest is mechatech ba'ofer hu. Why? Because it's no longer roi lov el pesach al moed. It's not roi lov el pesach al moed. That's the Gemara's kasha. That's how Tesis explains. The Rashi over here is a little bit problematic. The Masha points out. It says on the side, I am Masha. Masha points out the Rashi sounds like he's changing the pshat in midstream. Rashi writes two things, but the Tosfos in Psochim says that that's the pshat in this kasha. Mechatech ba'ofer hu, How are you chayv on shchut echutz? You want to chayv on shchut echutz if you shech both simonim, and it's roi lovel pesach al moed. But here, became asab anoy right away. So it's not roi lovel pesach al moed. So doesn't this contradict Rav Huna? If you say that when you shech la v'rizore, asab amaisa, asara, balechayim, don't become asar, the kasha that he's asking is not so much on the angle that Rav Huna said, ain't on the masa davish and ainu shaloi, but they maisa does asa. Even if it's his own animal, the same kasha. Balachaim don't become masa bano. But if asa ba maisa, balachaim don't become masa bano because ain't but tvisas yad adam. That's what we said. Let's say the hen lays an egg and I deify the egg. The egg is no longer attached to the hen. But still, it's called ain't but tvisas yad adam until someone picks it up. Someone picks it up and puts it down. Then it's called the man made egg. Same thing, the apples fell off on the tree. The apples, kozman, they're attached to the tree. Mechuba lekarka, dina kekarka. Once they fall off, it's not mechuba lekarka, but still, the Gemara says, bow down to the apples. They're not osa banoi, because they ain't but tvisas yaron. Someone picks it up and puts it down. Then it's called a man-made apple. Then it's called man-made. So the shad is here. Balichayim don't become osa banoi, because they ain't but tvisas yaron. Unless you do a maisa to it, that is called yesh but tvisas yaron. How much of a maisa do you have to do? Forget about davashenu shaloi, whether the animal is mine or not mine. My animal, it's my animal. But an animal is a balechayim. Don't become us. So Rav Huna says a chiddush that simen echad is enough. Simen echad is enough. So even mikzas of a simen echad is enough. So that was the Gemara's kasha. Mikzas of a simen echad is already called asa b'maisa asara. So it's not right lovel pesach al moed. So you can't be chayv chatos for the shchut echutz. So this contradicts Rav Huna. Don't you see that you need shnei simonim? So till you shech the shnei simonim, it didn't become asa b'ano mitam tekruvus avodizara, and the animal was theoretically still kosher lovel pesach al moed. So the Gemara wants to defend Rav Huna. They accept the Rav Huna's din. Amar Rav Papa wants to defend Rav Huna. So he answers, Ocha b'chata soif askinon. Why did the Braisa say chatos? The Braisa is trying to tell me a case where you have a triple header. He did one activity in his chayv three chatos. Yeshoychet behem achas. Because he violated Chilul Shabbos, he violated Avodah Zarah, he violated Shchut Echutz. So why does he have to say Chatos? It's a Shechet Karben b'Shabbos b'Chutz. So it must be a reason why it says Chatos. So Rav Hunis, Papa says that's the reason. Hocha b'Chatos Soif Askinon. It's not talking Chatos Beim, it's talking Chatos Soif. And Chatos Soif, we pointed out, is the Chatos Soif and the Zola Soif. There's no Korban Pesach, there's no Shlomim, and there's no other Korbanos Bayof. There's only Chatos Soif and Oil Soif. So there's a major difference between Chatos Soif and Oil Soif. But Chatos Soif, the din is lo yavdil. You're not allowed to, you do Malika instead of Shechita, you don't use a knife, you use it. Kohen uses his fingernail. And by Chatos Soif, it says, but lo yavdil, he's not allowed to do Malika on both. He either does the Malika on the Kona or on the Veshin. Not allowed to do on both. When you shecht an oif, that's the beginning of the perek. Lachatchila, the Gemara says, some rishonim held that to lachatchila deraisa. Lachatchila, you should shecht both the kona and the veishet. And b'di'evet, ashechet b'di'evet, if you only shecht the kona and the veishet, by the oif, that's sufficient. But lachatchila is supposed to shecht both. But by chatas oif, it says it's an isa. Lo yabdo, you're not allowed to cut both the kona and the veishet. By oilas oif, you do, there's a din. The hivdil, you have to use the fingernail of the coin, has to do malika both on the corner and the vesha. But chata saif, you only do simenech. So that's Rav Huna, that's Rav Papa defends Rav Huna. So he says, the reason why the Braisa says, trying to say, shchut echutz, let us say, shechet karben bachutz. No, karben bachutz, you may think that it's a behema. Behema, no. Behema, it can't be. Because it won't be b'vasachas. If he shechts a behema simen echod, it's already osa banot. It must be that as a chata soif, all you do, you only shecht simen echod. So if you shecht the simen echod, that's chay mishem chilul Shabbos, because that's enough for shechita. So we consider it as if, the Gemara said, why is it the first daf in the second parak, the Gemara said, why is it that when you shecht the behema, you have to shecht kana and the veishet? When you shech the knife, it's sufficient if you shech the kona or the veshet. The Gemara says the oif doesn't have as much chiyus as the behemah. Behemah was created by Yitzhak Shalom Kim Min Ha'adomo. The Rabbanu Shalom created Bria was Yesh Meyayin. Then everything after the first day of Bria was Yesh Meyesh. That's how the Ramban explains on Chumash. So the Psukim say that the Oifus and the Behemoth and the fish were created from something that already was there. So the Gemara says the fish were created min amayim. So amayim is a very, very loose thing. So the fish don't have so much chiyus. So fish don't need any shchita at all. Just take it out of the water and that's it. It's already dead. By Oifus, the Oifus were created min arekek. They were created from mud, which is offer and a lot of water, loose mud. So they have miktsas chiyus. They have more chiyus than the fish. So you need simen echad. And behemoths were created minu adama, offer minu adama. So they have more chiyus. So you have to shech two simon. So if you shech one simon, that by oif, that's enough to kill the animal. So if you shech one simon on Shabbos, that's called netilas nesham, because that would be acceptable for shechita. That's enough to kill the chiyus of the animal. So if you shech simen echad on Shabbos, that's chilul Shabbos. So we're talking about shchut echutz. So by shchut echutz, by behemoth, you have to shech both simonim. But by an oaf, by chatasof, all you have to shech is simen echad bachutz. So that's where Rapope comes to defend Rav Huna's chiddush. So he says, hacha, this brisa that says you have a triple header, that is chayv three chatos because he violated three averes all the vasachas, is only mashkachas law, in this case, chatasof askinim, kula bahadi adodikosi. When he shecht simen echad, correct. Rav Huna says it'll become Asa Banam and Kam Tikruvus of the Zohar right away, and simultaneously he'll be in violation of Shchut Echutz. So the Gemara says it's still not correct. Once Rav Huna said Simen Echad is good by Behema to make it Asa Banam, even though by Shchita Spain you need two Simanim. So you see that you don't need everything that you need for Shchita. So Simen Echad is left up, even Mitzvahs of the Simen would be good enough. But by Malika, of Chata Saif, you need the whole Simen Echad. So even when he does the Malika, when he starts doing the Simen Echad, it already becomes Asa Banam Itkam to Kruvus Avodah Zarah, and he's not yet Chayv Shchut Echutz until he does the end of the Simen Echad. So the Gemara says Rav Papa didn't answer the Kasha. It's still a Kasha. Michti, the Gemara is slugging up Rav Papa's answer on the third line. Michti Rav Huna Kamar Amar Lashmaite Ke'ula. He bases his sheet on what Ula quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and he's interpreting within Ula, v'Ula ma'isa kol dehu kamar, and he understood Ula as saying, one could have understood Ula, you have to shech both the kor and the veshet. But Rav Huna understood in Ula, simen echad is enough. So if simen echad is enough, so even miktsas is enough. So even when he does the tchila simen echad, your answer, Rav Papa's answer, that you're talking about chat ha-sa'if, doesn't answer the kasha. Because when you do miktsas simen, it's ready enough to make it to Kruvus Avodah Zarah. And on the Shchut Echutz, you only chag when you shech the whole simen. Rav Papa's answer is not correct. Ella, the Gemara says, a different answer. We're going to defend Rav Huna, and we're going to give a different answer. Ve'zokt, that he designated the animal as the Kruvus Avodah Zarah from the very outset, that you should say when he starts to shech the beginning of the Kana, when he starts to shech miktsas of the kona, it already becomes Asa Banah immediately before he gets to the Gemar HaSimon. Maybe Etzach Damant at the end of the Shechita. Maybe he says, he makes a declaration in advance. When I complete the Shechita, I want the Gemar HaShechita to be the Shema Avodah Zarah. He doesn't intend the Tchilas HaShechita. If he would have intended Tchilas HaShechita should be the Shema Avodah Zarah, would have become Asa Banah immediately. And then it wouldn't be Chayv HaShechut Echutz, because it already not Roy Lovel Pesach HaMoid when he completes the Shechita. But Elo the Pshat is Baime Begmar Zvichu Huayvda. So then it doesn't have to be Chatas Soif. Then it can be a Chatas Behema also. So then the Gemara says, if we don't understand, why did the Braisa say Chatas? The Braisa could have said, you're trying to give a case where it's a triple head, to say, Ashechet Korban Bachutz Labad Azor. Doesn't the fact that the Braisa picked on Chatas, doesn't it mean something? That it's only Chatas and it must be alluding to Chatas Behema? So that's what the Gemara is not going to be happy with this. So that's what the Gemara asked. If that's the answer, Elo, you're defending Rav Huna by saying, to make it also by Noam, become to Kruvus of it, or even Mixus of the Simon is enough. So to say the Chatasayv doesn't answer the question, still not simultaneous. The Shchut Echutz is going to be violated after it already became also by Noam. So the answer had to be that what? He said, I only designated as a Tekruvus Avodah Zarah at the completion of the Shechita. So the Gemara says, if that's the answer, Ihochi, the Mayir Yechatos, why does the Brisa mention that it happened to be a Chatos? Lashmin and Zevach. Let it say, Shechet Karpet Bachutz, Shechet Zevach Bachutz. So the fact that it mentions, Chatos, isn't that a dead giveaway that you're talking about a Chatos Oiv? That, and Simen Echod is enough, but you need a whole Simen. So we don't know Pshat in the Brisa. Elama Mazuch, Mishmei the Rapapa, on the top line, the Gemara said, Amr Rapapa. They quoted Rapapa. So the Gemara says, now you misquoted Rapapa. He said a better Pshat. He didn't say, Hocha Bechata Saif Haskin, and you only need Simen Echod. Simen Echod is not correct, because Lava the Zori, even Mikza Simen would be enough to Asabano. It's already not Roy Lava al Pesach on Moid. Elo, Amr Mazuch, Mishmei the Rapapa, where Rapapa really said, the correct version of what he said was, Hacha b'maya skin, the Brisa is talking about a special case. The din is that we said before, if you have a nekev in the veshed, the kuvas aveshed, so shchita is not going to help on the animal. It's either called a treif or a nevela. The Rambam says it's a nevela, problematic. Rambam and the Mishnah says that it's a treif. So nekev mashahu in the veshed, in the food, in the esophagus, is enough to ask. But the kuvas psukas hagageris, in the windpipe, it's only if nifsika beruba. So you can have an animal, either an oif or a behemoth, that's walking around with the chatzi kana pogma, to walk around for years like that. Exactly half, or slightly less than half, or exactly half of the kana is cut, and the animal can walk around like that. It won't die. So that's what the Braisa is talking about. It says chatois because it means chatas oif. In Chata Soif, all you need is Simen Echad. But Simen Echad is also not going to be simultaneous. So we're talking about a special case. The Brisa is just trying to emphasize that you can have a triple header. It's possible to do one activity to be Chayv three Chatois because of three different Averis. You have many Mishnais, many Brisas give examples like that. A person does Ushech L'Achil Achas, Chayv Aleh five Chatois. Many times Malkus, if it's Bemezid, many times Chatas, if it's B'Shege, Mishnais and Makas, Mishnais and Krisas. See, here's a Brisa. This Brisa could have been written before the Mishnah. There were many Brisas floating around. The Mishnah gives you a case where you have six Chatos. Here the Brisa gives a case of three Chatos, less. Could be this Brisa preceded the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah outdid the Brisa. He does one activity. He eats Yashar Chalachil Achas and it's Chayv six Chatos. This is a bigger Chiddush than the Brisa, only three Chatos. So the Brisa says, Hocham Askinon, it's a special case. Voice of a love kol shehu, and he does a mashehu the gomrai, and he's mashlim it to rubai, so all the three averis come simultaneously. The chil shabbos is when you make that's shchita, when you mashlim from a chatzi kana pogum to rubai shachut, so that's kosher shchita. So when you do a shchita, that's netilas neshama, that's the malach on shabbos netilas neshama, and he shechted ibachutz that the shchut echutz. And he did the kol shehu, the shema of the zara. So all three are simultaneous. The kulu b'had the adar the koasin. All the three averes come simultaneously. Sure. So the Gemara defended Rav Huna. The Gemara defended Rav Huna. But we started off with a kasha. Rav Nachman thought that he had a kasha against Rav Huna that seemed to indicate that by avodah zara it's not enough simen echad. So Rav Papa defended the correct version of Rav Papa. Mazruchi quoted. The correct version of Rapapa was to defend Rav Huna that the Brisa is just trying to emphasize it's possible to do one activity and you chayv three chatois, but it's only in a rare case. It's a chatos oif, a rare case, chatos oif, and it's a chatzi kana pogum, an ukim tepshat, an ukim tepshat. It's a rare case. So now Rapapa makes a comment. Rapapa is the one who came to defend Rav Huna. And he gave this funny answer, and who came to Pshat? Amra Papa, he loved Amra Funa Simen Echad. If not for the fact that he said, Kivin Shoshachaba Simen Echad al Sora, one could have said, correct, Otomosat, a person can ask his Balichaim. Balichaim usually are not Nesorim, ain't but Tvisas Yarodim. But like they might say, it does become Nesor. And ain't Otomosat Dovashayna Shaloi, if I deify someone else's chair, someone else's property, it doesn't become asamana, but if also my sasora. So if not for Rav Huna, one could have said, you need shritas kona and veshet. Rav Huna said a chiddush over here. You only need simen echad. So he says, he loved Dom, Rav Huna simen echad. If not for the fact that he said that, lavichatas tiyufta, I wouldn't have had a kasha in the first place. He defended Rav Huna. Rav Pop is the one who defended him. He says, Rav Huna will interpret that the brice is a special case, a rukimta case, a chatas soif, and it's a chatzi kanapogam, but there wouldn't have been a kasha in the first place, because if you could have said, correct, but only they maisa rabba, if you shecht both. Because one could have said, my maisa, maisa rabba. Correct. Ula said that the name Rabbi Yechanan, ain't on the most adob shenu shaloi, but also about maisa asara, you would say that you need a maisa rabba, of shecht and both simon. Then he says another state, the Amra Papi makes another state. Yav Damra Abuna Bemus Chaver, Lahavi Chatas Tiyufte. Also, I wouldn't have had a kasha at all on Rav Huna from the Braisa. My time, the day Motziyosa, the Chavila Motziyosa. Rav Huna said two fantastic chidushim. He went out on a limb. He said, Simen Echad is enough. And once you say Simen Echad is enough, even Mikzas of Simen Echad is enough. Then he said, and this is even valid to Asa Dovashenu Shalom. One could have said, you can Asa Balichayim at Simen Echad, if the Balchay is yours. But other most of Dovah Shehinu Shalom, maybe one needs Shnei Simonim. So he says, here, the Korbanos are divided into two categories. Rashi explains over here. Korbanos are divided into two categories. They're Kochim Kalim and they're Kochim Kochim. What are the differences between? There are a lot of differences between Kochim and Kochim Kalim. Kochim Kochim, you have to shecht on the right hand side of the Azara. That's Tzofen. The right hand side of the Azara is more chomer, more kaddish than the left hand side of the Azara. Shchitasan, kachikachim, shchitasan atzofen. What else? Who eats it? So the kachikachim, you have a korban oila, nobody eats it. Korban oila, the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, kula kolo. You have a chatas and an oshim, only kohanim can eat it. Only zichri kohanim can eat it. Only eat it in the Azara. And the zman achila is very restricted. The makam achila is very. The oichlim are restricted, only zichri kuna, even a baskoin is not allowed to eat it. The mokum achila is very restricted, only in the Azora. Kochim kalim can eat in Yerushalayim, anywhere in Yerushalayim. Kochim only in the Azora. And the zman achila is more restricted. The more mekudosh it is, so the more restricted the achila is. The zman achila is only yom v'layla ad chatzos. And kochim kalim basically is shnei yom v'layla echad. And the mokum achila is broader. So, there is a big machlokes hatanaim in kiddushin, and maseches kiddushin. A man is mekadosh and isha bekesef or b'shove kesef. Those of us who are married, we all got married by giving a ring. That shove kesef dina kikesef. That's the minig. The Rambam says even though you can be mekadosh either bekesef or b'shtara b'biya, v'anogel kol yisrael kadosh bekesef, because kesef is only known through Torah Shabbal Peh, and we want to emphasize the fact that Karaites, the Karoim, never believed in kiddushin kesef. The different groups of Karoim. There are Karoim from Europe and Karoim from Asia and Karoim from Africa. Each one has different shtick, but Atzara Shavashe Bekulam, none of them have Kedusha Kesef. So the Rambam says, Kva Nogu Kol Yisrael, by the Orthodox Jews, our practice is that we go out of our way dafke to use Kesef, or we go Shavu Kesef. We don't even use Kesef. The Mordechai says that. We don't even use Kesef, we don't use cash. We use Shavu Kesef, because Shavu Kesef is a Torah Shabbal Peh on top of a Torah Shabbal Peh. The whole thing is Torah Shabbal Peh. So the Mishnah talks about a man is Mekadosh and Isha B'Kesef, so it has to be his money. I can't take, the girl has a ring. Her mother brought her a ring 10 years ago. The girl's 20 years old. When she was 10 years old, the mother bought her a ring. So the girl is going to lend me the ring. I'll give it back her ring and say, Harem Mekadosh Leib Tabazu. It's not my ring, it's her ring. So that's not a good kiddushin. Or I'll steal a ring from someone else and I'll give the girl her mukadesh. It has to be my ring. You're not balabos to give someone else's ring. So what if I have a korban? I brought a korban chatos to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to give the sar hachatos to the isha. I say, I read mukadesh li, the boss hazeh. So she can't eat the sar hachatos. Even if she's a kohenis, she can't eat it. Chatas only nechal to zichri kohuna, but she can give it to her father to eat. Let's say her father's the kind, she'll give it to the father. So it's shove kesef, it's shove puta. But the question is, does the chatas belong to me? I, there was mechal shabbos b'shoyi. and I bring a chatas to the Beis HaMikdash, and I have to give the flesh to the Kohanim to eat. So does the flesh belong to me? Well, let's say I bring a Korban Pesach, or I bring a Levat Pesach, may be different. I bring a Korban Shlomim to the Beis HaMikdash. So the flesh of the Korban Shlomim, does it belong to me? So there's a three-way, a big machlekes hatanoim in Kiddushin, the end of the second parak. Ha-mekadesh, a man is mekadesh and isha with bisar karbonis. So one Tana says, why not? The bisar karbonis belongs to the one who brought the carbon. The other Tana says, no, karbonis are mama gavoya. It's not considered mama bailam. Then there's a third Tana, Rabbi Yosef Glili, who splits, and he says, kochi kochi ma mama gavoya, and kochi mkala ma mama bailam. The Gemara in the first parak in Bava Kamma has a whole discussion about Rabbi Yosef Glili Shita. There are shades of opinions here. Which kachim kal? So the Gemara here is asking like this: Achatos, the first opinion is not accepted. The first opinion is Lobo B'cheshem. There is one Tana in Kiddushin that has that korban is amom and bailam, and the one who brings the korban, the flesh belongs to him. But we don't. That's for sure not accepted. The only diun in the Ramam is that he paskin like Rabbi Yosef Glili all the way, or sometimes yeah, and sometimes no. Does he say only kachim is mama gavaya? Or even kachim kalim, there are stiris in the Rambam. The Lecha Mishnah has a whole list of all the kashas. That sometimes the Rambam says that kachim kalim are mom and bailim, and sometimes the kachim kalim are also treated as mom and gavoya. That it doesn't, treated as if it doesn't belong to me. But kachim kachim for sure is mom and gavoya. So the Gemara says over here, we're talking, he's shechting achatos, I was machal shabbos shrek, I'm bringing the achatos, that's my behemoth. I'm shechting the chatas l'shem avodah zarah. Is the chatas considered mine? The chatas is the chmama gavaya. So it's not mine. So just like Eidon Amos Adov v'sheinu shaloi, if I shecht your behema l'shem avodah zarah, there's an issue of Eidon Amos Adov v'sheinu shaloi. Ravuna said sometimes, yeah, they might say rabbi, might say zuta, whatever. But it's an issue. So shechting a chatas was a shekot shekotchim. That's how Rashi explains over here. Shechting achatas, which the accepted opinion, there was one Tana in the Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kedushin that holds that all karbonas are mom and bailam, but that Tana was not accepted. The only issue b'sak halacha l'maskana is whether we accept Rabbi Yosef Glili partially or not at all. How far do we accept Rabbi Yosef Glili? But kachim kachim for sure is mom and gavoya. So that was the Gemara's comment. Now Rav Papa is making comments. He says, I presented this brisa as a kasha against Rav Huna, because he's shechting achatos, and achatos is mama gavaya, achatos is kachikachim, the bailam don't eat it, you give it to the kohanim, so it doesn't belong to him, and even it's not even mama kohanim. The Gemara says, it's not mama kohanim either, mishulchan gavaya kozachum. It's not mama bailam of the bala korban who's getting the kapara. And it's not the mama bailam of the kohanim are going to eat the flesh either. It's mama gavoya. So it's an issue. What do you mean he shechts it l'shem avodah zarah and it becomes the kruvis? Eidon Amos Adov v'sheinu shaloi. It's not considered mama bailam. So Rav Huna said, shocha bapurto asora. So he said, if not for the fact that Rav Huna said, ha'isa b'emes chaveru levutza l'fnei avodah zarah, simen echot, and mikta simen echot is enough to ask the Adov v'sheinu shaloi, I wouldn't have had any kasha. Eishe Rav Nachman, Rav Huna. Rav Nachman's kasha, Rav Papa says, Rav Nachman's kasha was only a kasha because Rav Huna said, not only you aser a balchai that belongs to you, even aser an animal that doesn't belong to you with mikta simen echa. So that's Rav Papa's second comment. He loved Amar Rav Huna b'emes chaveroi. If not for the fact Rav Huna said simen echa is enough to aser dov sheinu shaloi also, not only enough to aser a behema balchayim, it's even enough. The aser dov sheinu shaloi lahavi chatas tiyufti. There would have been a kasha. Why my time? Why would it not have been a kasha? Did they motziyosa the chaveh lemotziyosa? If it's your own animal, so then all right. Rav Huna says shecht simin echad. Adam aser dov sheinu shaloi, but balichaim you can't aser. So once it's shecht simin echad, it's not called balichaim anymore. Aser b'mais, it's called yesh bo tvisas yad adam. But in order to aser dov sheinu shaloi the chaveh lemotziyosa, one would have said you cannot aser. That's Rav Huna's two comments. That the only reason why Rav Nachman had thought that there was a kasha in the first place, Rav Papa defended Rav Huna. He protected Rav Huna. He answered all the kashas, that the Brisa is talking about a special case of Chatas Soif, where the Chatzi caught a pogam, a holo kimta pshat. So he defended him, but he said the whole kasha in the first place was because Rav Huna said double chidushim. He said Simen Echad is enough. You don't need Maisa Rabba, and Simen Echad is enough. Not only for the issue of Bali Chayim Einam Nesorim, it's enough even for the Dov Shein Shaloi. So he says one could ding zech with the two chidushim of Rav Huna, but he defended Rav Huna. So the Gemara says obviously Pshita. What is Rav Papa pointing out over here? Why would one think the ding zech? So the Gemara says on the second point, Aveda Namosa Dov Shein Shaloi. Why did we say that the chatas is a dovashena shalai? Because it's mama gavoya. Mama gavoya means literally it doesn't belong to me. What does it mean, mama gavoya? There's a Rambam that Rab Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out. The Rambam quotes a din from the Gemara in the end of Maseches Tmura. There's a din of Hegdish Ilui. You can superimpose Kedusha on top of another Kedusha. So the Rambam quotes the Mishnah. The Rambam interprets like this. The Rambam interprets the din in the Mishnah like this. Let's say I have a korban chatos or a korban oila, which is kotch kotchim and mam gavoya. So I say hareze lebedek abayis. I want to superimpose kedushas bedek abayis on top of kedushas korban. So the Mishnah says that it's chal. The bedek abayis is chal. But if he first was magdish the behemah lebedek abayis, and then he wants to superimpose kedushas korban, then the Rambam says it's not chal. He's quoting Gemaras, but he's interpreting his pshat. He says because ein on the mosad dov sheinu shaloi. Once you donated the animal to Berek Abayis, it no longer belongs to you. It's mamon hegdish b'kinyana. It belongs to hegdish. So you're not a balabas that say hareza shlamim hareza oila. But if you said hareza shlamim hareza chatas hareza oila, it's yours. The animal belongs to you. So you can't superimpose the kedushas Berek Abayis. So the pella is what do you mean? It's also dov sheinu shaloi. The Rambam paskins for sure, kachikotim for sure is mama gavoya. It's not mama bailam. So the answer is the Rambam's opinion. Rav Chaim has a lot of Rambams that indicate like this. The Rambam's opinion is when the Mishnah says that karbonis kachikotim are mama gavoya, not to be taken literally that it belongs to Hegdish. Mama and Berek Abayis says mama and Hegdish bikinyana, that belongs to Hegdish. Karbonis, we treat them as if they're mama gavoya. It means it's an insult to the, it's a bizoyan to the kedusha. You should give it as a gift. You should be mekadosh and isha with the psara chatas. It's a bizoyan to the kedusha to the extent that we say you have no right to do that. And even if you did it, you say the mechira is not chal. But it depends what you're doing. So if you're giving, if you're selling chatas to someone else, the sale is not chal. You're giving him a matana, it's not chal. You're giving it to an isha as a matana to be mekadosh the isha, the matana is not chal. But if you superimpose Kedusha's Berek Abayis on top of it, that's Hegdash on top of Hegdash, that's called Hegdash Ilui. Yamala the Kedusha. You're superimposing another Kedusha on top of the basic Kedusha. So that's not a bizoyan to the original Kedusha. So it basically, when you say, Maisa Sheni Imamon Gavoya, that's what the Gemara says in Kedusha near the end of the second parak. That's a Machalik Zar Meir and Rab Yudah. Whether Maisa Sheni Imamon Gavoya, Maisa Sheni Imamon Bailam. Let's say I have Maisa Sheni, can I give it to Matana? I can invite other people to eat the Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. But can I give it to them in Matana that it belongs to them or no? It belongs to me. And I gave them permission to eat my Maisa Sheni. What's an afkamina? Let's say I'll give Maisa Sheni, I'll give you some Maisa Sheni to eat in Yerushalayim. You'll take it and give it to a girl and say, Hariyat Mukadash Isli. Does it belong to you that you can give it to the girl? Or do you say, no, it's Mama Gavoya? So that's a machlaik and satanayim. So the Gemara says, usually, ruba deruba of the cases when there's a machlekes or a meir Rab Yudah, so we say, Rab Meir Rab Yudah, Allahik Rab Yudah. We rarely paskin like Rab Meir. The Gemara says, Rab Meir was a super genius. He was out of this world. He was something fantastic. And the Talmidim couldn't follow. He gave such complicated shurim, the Talmidim couldn't follow his opinion. So the next generation, when they were voting what the halacha should be, so he had fewer Talmidim than the others. So that's why we rarely paskin like Rab Meir. The old man, because Rav Meir would give to Pulim, on the one hand, on the other hand, and the Talmidim wouldn't pick up Halacha Lemaisa. What did he mean to say? Bottom line, what did he say? And the other Tanaim were not like that. They said the din is like this, and they explained why. They didn't give so many logical possibilities. Rav Meir gave too many logical possibilities, so the Tanaim, the Talmidim, didn't like to learn by him. So we rarely paskin, whenever there's Machlekes Rav Meir Abuda, we rarely paskin like Rav Meir. But the Gemara said this is one of the cases where Rav Yudah Nasi wrote Stam in Mishnah, it's like Rav Meir, that we pass Maisa Sheni is Mama Gavoya. So by Maisesheni Mama Gavoya, by Kochikoch Mama Gavoya, it doesn't mean that it doesn't belong to me. It does belong to me, but I have no right. It's a bizoyin akdusha of the Maisesheni. You should give it to Matona, or you should sell it, or you should be Mekadosh and Isha with it. So therefore, even B'dieved is not Chal. Even B'dieved is not Chal. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't belong to you. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Pshita, what did Rav Papa mention over here? Papa said, if not for the fact that Rav Huna said these two chidushim, Rav Nachman would have never have asked the kasha in the first place. Why are these considered such fantastic chidushim? So the Gemara said, the second one is Shalem Alachidush, that Ma'u Detema, one might have said, given the Konele the Kapara, it's my chatas. I was the one who was Machal Shabbat Pshay. I'm bringing this chatas to the Beis HaMikdosh. So I would have thought the chatas, true, we treat it as Mama Gavaya. But basically, it is Mama Bailam. It's Mama Gavaya. You can't sell it. You can't give it Ma'atan. You can't be Mekadosh and Isha with it. But it is my behema. The Gemara says, Mavakama, Mekora Tura Deruvim, Ashta Tura Deruvim. The behema belonged to me before I designated it as a chatas. And even after I designated it as a chatas, it still is my behema. It's not a Shini Meshus. It still belongs to me. So Ma'u Detema, one could have thought, Kevin the Konele Lekapar, Kedidei Damya, one could have thought there is no Isha Avein on the Mosad Dov Hashem Shaloi. So that's where our Papa said, no, Kamash Malan, that there was room to Dingzach. The Kasha against Rav Huna from the Braisa is not so Mukhrach. One could have answered that there is no, in the Braisa, Shoich El Chatos, that he asks it. The whole Kasha was, if he asks Mitama Abedizare, I bet it's a Dov Hashem Shaloi. So Rav Huna holds other Moshe Dov Hashem Shaloi Dei Maisa. So the question is this really a case of Dov Hashem Shaloi by the Chata? So the Gemara said, yeah, because it's Mama Gavoya. So Rav Papa said, asking the Kasha was a Chiddush. Because one could have said, since the Chata basically does belong to me, we treat it as if it were Mama Gavoya, that you can't sell it and you can't give it Matan, you can't be Mekadosh and Isha. But basically, I'm the Bala Kapara. The Chata is brought on my behalf. I would have thought, Kedidei Damya. I would have been able to argue the point and say perhaps that there's no issue of Dov Hashem Shaloi. So Kamash Malan, that's what our Papa said, that it is a good kasha, that it is an example of Dov Hashem Shaloi. And other Amoraim, fine, so this is Rav Huna. For Rav Huna started on Amud Aleph, and he said, even though Ein on the Mosad Dov Hashem Shaloi, but also Bamaisa Asorah. Now the Gemara quotes that not all the Amoraim agree. Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak all disagree. Rav Nachman was the one who asked the Kasha on Omerath. Four lines from the bottom of Mem Amud Aleph was Esrei Rav Nachman leRav Huna. Rav Nachman thought he has a Teyufta. He thought, Upgefrekt Rav Huna, and Rav Huna is wrong. Rav Papa came and he defended Rav Huna, he gave him a Kimta Pshat. But Rav Nachman thought that he wiped the floors with Rav Huna. So he holds that the Rav Huna is wrong. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak, three Amoraim, Amrei, and it was a Dov Hashem Shaloi, even on Day Maisa. The Rav Huna is wrong, even on Day Maisa. So the Gemara says, how can they maintain that position? What about the Braisa that we just read? Meisvei, the Amoraim, Esther Kasha, Rav Nachman. Shechel Chatz, B'Shab, L'Chutz, L'Avod, Ezor, Chayim, Shalosh, Chatois. And we said the reason why the Braisa said Chatos, why does it say chatas? Does it say ashechet zebach, ashechet karben machatz? Why does it say chatas? There must be alluding to the fact there must be an okimta case. Chatas ha'oif, the roi need is simen echad, and it's chatzi kanapogum, and everything is boim b'kachas. But if it would have been a chatas behema, not viokminon, and we gave an okimta pshat b'chatas ha'oif b'chatzi kanapogum, and the only reason why yechayv shalach chatros, that's why the brisa said chatas. And we said, time of the chatasoyf who the kula b'hadi adar the kvasyan. But if it would have been Abba Zebach, any other carbon, if the price wouldn't have said a sheikh et chatas, would have said a sheikh et carbon, a sheikh et zebach, the din would not be the same. So if Rab Nachman is right, ein on the Mosad Dov Hashem Shaloi, even Ayidei Maisa Zuta, it does nasa. So why did the price give the example of a chatasoyf and a chatzikon apogam? It's a sheikh et karbon machutz. It's a dana masa dov sheni shaloi. And the chatas is mama gavoya because it's kochi kochim. Kochi kochim is the mama gavoya. The ee dana masa dov sheni shaloi. Bar yere chatas, hafid chatas beim anami. So the Gemara says no. Rav Nachman is of the opinion, like Rav Papa raised an issue before. that one could argue the point and say, true, kachi kachim is mamon gavaya. Kachi kachim is mamon gavaya, not to be taken literally that it doesn't belong to me. Even it does belong to me, baharaya, that the Rambam said you can superimpose berek habayis on top of kachim is be'er. That the kachim is be'er, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, the ikara tura deruvin, mahashta tura deruvin, the animal belonged to me before I designated as a chatas, and after I designated, it's also my animal. I am the bailam and dinim mamas. We call it mama gavoya, that it's not proper, it's highly improper to sell it and to give it b'matan to b'mkadosh and isha, and even if you did it, it's not chal. But basically, it does belong to me. So Rav Nachman is of the opinion, came in the kind of little kapur, he holds that since you're the bailam for kapur purposes, the animal did belong to you until you designated as a chatas. Even after you designated, it still belongs to you. It is your animal. So he holds in such a case, that's why the Brisa had to give the case of a chatas oif with the chatzikana pogam. Otherwise, it would have been on a masa dabashu shalai. It wouldn't be dabashu shalai. It would have been dabashu shalai.
But once you get the kapara, then it's no longer yours. The kapara. In other words, once you get the kapara.
Yeah.
So isn't that no longer yours?
No, the animal belonged to me before I designated as a chatas. When I designated, it still belongs to me, but we call it mama gavoya. You're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. It's highly improper, but it does belong to me. Then after I'll shecht it, so I have to give the flesh to the kohanim and the chelev I'll burn on the mizbeach. But Kosman, the animal is still alive. It's mine. It's davishu shalai.
But you receive a kapara for that.
When I'll bring it as the carbon, I'll get the kapara. So that's what Rab Nachman thought correct. Rab Nachman with the other two, they think you're right. You made a correct deal in the Brisa. Why did the Brisa say this case where you have a triple header, chayv three chatos? Why does it say a shecher chatos? Shchut echutz is chayv on any carbon machutz, not only a chatos. So must be alluding to a special akimta case. Chatos ha'oif, the oil need a simen echod and a chatzikon apogum. So everything came about sachas. So don't you see like Rav Huna, that a mikzas, a simen echor, a chatzi simen, but also asabano. So the Gemara says no, because here there's no issue of ain't on the most of davish and shalai. It's a davish and shalai. The only issue is asring balechayim. The asring balechayim, a mikzas simen is good enough. But the asa davish and shalai, maybe that you need dafke two simon. So that's the machlokes in the Gemara. There is a rule, just to review, there is a rule, ain't on the most of davish and shalai. Ayde maise. They quoted from Rav Yechanan Adam Osad Davishen Shaloi, but there was a machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman and others. We pass like Rav Huna. There's machlekes Rav Huna and Rav Nachman and the others. How much of a maisa do you need to Asad Davishen Shaloi? Rav Huna says maisa kaldo mikzas of a simen is enough to Asad Davishen Shaloi. That's called yesh botvisus yad Adam, and it's even to Asar Balichayim, and it's enough to Asad Davishen Shaloi. And Rav Nachman and the other two Amoraim disagree. They say that's enough to call it Yesh Batvisas Yarodam and Mikzas. But that's not enough to ask the Dovish and Shaloi you need. But Rav Yechanan said, Dovish and Shaloi, you can't ask Rai Dei Maisa. He meant a Maisa Rabba, Maisa of Shechting, both Simon. And the Gemara Maskana, Paskans like Rav Huna. The Chiddush, Paskans like Rav Huna. That a Maisa Zut is enough to an exception to the rule, both for you can't ask a Balichaim, Ein Batvisas Yarodam. So if you do a maisa kol dehu, that's enough. Let's say the hen laid the eggs. Someone picks up the egg and puts it down. That's a maisa kol dehu. That's called yesh bo tvisas yad adam. Or the apples fell down from the tree. Someone picks up the apple, puts it down. He didn't pick it up, the shame of it. That's called yesh bo tvisas yad adam. Then if someone will worship the apple later on, it's called yesh bo tvisas yad adam. It'll become maisa. So there also, a maisa kol dehu is enough to aser balichai. Mikza simen is enough to ask Balechayim. Is mikza simen enough to relate my machshava to his property? So that's a machlekes. So we pass from Rav Huna that ma'isa kol dehu is enough even to be an exception to the rule of Eidan the Moshe Dovish Enu Shaloi. The ma'isa kol dehu it's enough. And the other Amaraim disagree. That's the sugya. Okay. Stop here. There's an ongoing discussion about abortions in the elections. Everybody discussing abortions. What does the Torah have to say about abortions? So the Chumash in Parshas Noach has the din for Bnei Noach. Shafech dam ba'adam, ba'adam dam yishafech. So the simple reading of the pasuk is, Shafech dam ha'adam, if you murder a human being, ba'adam dam yishafech. Misas Benzin, the court should put him to death. Not Misa B'dei Shemayim, ba'adam dam yishafech. That's the pshuta shel mikra. You put a kama, Shafech dam ha'adam, kama, ba'adam dam yishafech. The Targ Mokla says, ba'adam means be'edim u'be'dayonim. Okay, says that's all included, ba'adam, be'edim u'be'dayonim. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, shafech dam ha'adam ba'adam. If you kill an uber, you kill a fetus, a nochri performs an abortion, so he's also chayiv misa. But the Mishnah says if a Jew kills a fetus, he's not chayiv misa. Only if a nochri kills a fetus. Why is that? Mishnah says, indeed, that tinek ben yamechod, when a baby is born, the same baby that is born, a harga neregarov. If you kill a baby the same day that he's born, you chayiv misa. So the simple mashmas of the Mishnah is, if you kill the uba before he's born, so you're not chayiv misa. So the Achrayim ask, what is the mukkah for this? That there's no isur at all. On the part of a Jew, there's no isur to perform an abortion. So the Achrayim have three opinions. Some hold that it's an isur deraisa, some hold that it's an isur derabbanan, some hold that it's mutter legamrei. And the haskamas Achrayim is that it must be an isur deraisa, because Tosis writes in Sanhedrin. We learned Sanhedrin many years ago. This group started with learning Sanhedrin 35 years ago. So there's a Tosis in Sanhedrin and the Sugya of Bnei Noach. Umar makes a statement, Mi'ika Midi, there is no such thing that by Nochrim there's an Iser and by Jew is allowed to do it. How can it be? If it's also for the Goy, it's clearly also for the Jew. So let's say Gedeva is also for the Goy, Gedeva is also for the Jew. The Goy is put to death for Gedeva. The Gemara says, Benoach is Nerag on Pachas Mishavar Puto. Jew is not Nerag on Gedeva, even if he steals billions of dollars, not Nerag. So that's not a Kasha. That by the Bnei Noach, the punishment is Mohammed and by Israel. That is the fact, Bnei Noach is Chayiv Misa for eating Ev Melachai. The Jew is not Chayiv Misa for eating, Chayiv Malkus for eating Ev Melachai. And Gezel, Pachim Shavuot, the guy is Chayiv Misa, but not Chayiv Misa. But if a Bnei Noach is Nerag on killing an Uber, so clearly there's an Isa for the guy, so there clearly must be an Isa by the Jew. So the assumption is that it's an Isa derais. So where's the marker? That Pasuk, Shafech Tam Adam Adam. So how did we know that you're not Chayiv Misa? Maybe you were Chayiv Misa. So the Meiri writes in Masechah Shabbos, in one place, he's explaining a certain detail in Hilchot Shabbos. So he says, from this week's Parsha, you have the Parsha of the Mei Velodis. The Chumash says, Ki Notzo Anoshim, two people are fighting with each other, Menokvi Shahara, Vyotzo Yolodeha. Accidentally, they caused the woman a miscarriage, and the fetus died. The fetus was not able to survive. So the Torah says that the one who caused the harm, one who caused the fetus to die, has to pay the mevlodis to the father of the baby. Then it says, that's imlo yiyosa. If the woman doesn't lose her life, then the makas, her isha, has to pay the mevlodis. Imos and yiyah, but if the woman loses her life, then there's a din of kom lebe derab mina. Since theoretically, even though there was no hasra, but since theoretically he's chai misa for killing the woman, so he doesn't have to pay the mevlodis. So the Miri asked the question, but he killed the uber. He violated the Avera killing the Uber, so that is also a tzicha. So the Miri says, you see from this pasuk that there's no kam lebi derab mine. There's no chiyah misa for killing an Uber. So if there's but there is an Isa. There is an Isa. There has to be an Isa. If there wouldn't be an Isa by Israel, how can it be that by Bnei Noach there is an Isa? The only shaila is, what's the nature of the Isa? Is the Isa of killing an Uber, the Isa of performing an abortion, is that an Isa of Shfichas Domim? Or that an iser of chavala. Let's say I have a body and I cut off one finger. So that's an iser chavala. So if the woman is pregnant, it's part of her body. So why is she cutting out the uber? So there clearly is an iser chavala. But if it's only an iser chavala, then whenever it's medically recommended, we would encourage the person to do an abortion. Let's say a woman. Let's say someone has six fingers on his hand and he looks awkward. Or someone is absolutely ugly and he looks awful. So you want to do cosmetic surgery. So Ruba de Ruba of the Paskim say, we allow cosmetic surgery. Or let that person has six fingers, he wants to look normal. So that we allow that. We said that's not called Chavala. If it's medically recommended or cosmetically recommended, say this is no Issa Chavala. So let's say a woman is pregnant and the doctors tested the fetus and it's going to be a sick baby. The parents are just going to have tzaras for years and years with this child. So it's medically recommended to perform an abortion in such a case. So if the isav is an isav ritzicha, so you're not allowed to do ritzicha because it's medically recommended. But if the whole isav is only an isav chavala, then it would be mutter. So the Rambam is the one who writes that the only time you're allowed to kill a fetus, the only time you're permitted to perform an abortion is the case that the Mishnah has. A woman is in labor, hamakasha lele, and it's a difficult labor, and the doctors think the woman is going to lose her life if you leave her like this. So then the Mishnah says you have to kill the fetus, cut up the fetus in pieces in order to save the life of the mother. So the Rambam says in such a case we're permitted to kill a fetus because the fetus is a roidif to the mother. But if it's a case, the fetus is not a roidif to the mother, the mother's life is not in danger, it's just that she'll have tzoras through it. If she gives birth to this sick child, she'll suffer for years and years raising this child, have to give the child to a home or whatever. So from the Rambam would appear that he holds that it's an iser ritzicha, and the only heter you have is b'mokem pikuach nefesh for the mother, because that's a heter of roidif. And the other Rishonim don't seem to agree with the Rambam. Rashi and all the other Rishonim, the Rambam is problematic Rambam. The Rambam calls it a roidif, the Pashup Shat and Gemara Sanhedrin is against the Rambam. So that's where Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He thinks we should follow the Rambam. Everyone should follow the Rambam. And even though the Rambam seems to be against the Gemara, he says there are a lot of Rambams that seems to be against the Gemara. We don't reject the Rambam just because it seems to be against the Gemara. And he said, he writes in his Shuv, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has a famous explanation in the Rambam to defend the Rambam, how the Rambam read the Gemara. Fine. So there's a famous Shuv. For years, the practice used to be that when Rabbanim in Europe would retire, they would move to Eretz Yisrael and they would join the Badats of the Eidah Haredes. So one of the many Rabbanim who joined was the Rav from Lublin, Shneur Zalman from Lublin. He wrote Shuvah's Torah's Chesed. So the two volumes, Chelek Arachaim and Chelek Ebenezer. So Chelek Arachaim, the bulk of Chelek Arachaim, are his Shabbos Agorol Pilpulim and the Shabbos Shuvah Pilpulim. The Rabbanim years ago used to give a big pilpul on Shabbos Agorol and Shabbos Shuvah, a pilpul in Halacha, and then they used to give Musa, they used to give Tochacha also. So Chelek Arachaim, many of the essays are Shabbos Agorol and Shabbos Shuvah Pilpul. Chelek Ebenezer has two famous essays, two famous Shuvahs about abortion. So he thinks that even he brings rayas that abortion, he thinks that abortion is only nisa chavola, it's not a nisa ritzicha, and even the Rambam said that it's only mutter to perform the abortion when the baby is a raida. If the Rambam is talking when isha hamakasha leled, when the woman is in the middle of giving birth, she's in the middle of labor, so the Gemara says that's a different status. But before labor, he says maybe either before she's gone into labor, it's adayin lo nekar havlad lotzeis, or maybe once she reached the beginning of the ninth month, it's kolal lochadoshev, so the vlad is viable. So maybe after kolal lochadoshev, it's an iser ritzicha. Maybe before kolal lochadoshev, before the beginning of the ninth month, maybe the Rambam would also agree to the other rishon. So that's the whole dispute bisman hazeh. Is it that Rav Moshe is very machmer? Rav Moshe thinks, and Rabbi Tendler always says there's only one way to go, only to go like Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe was usually Rav Moshe was mekel here. Rav Moshe was very machmer. Everyone has to be choshish for the Rambam's opinion. Rav Soloveitchik also felt, he said he feels uncomfortable going against the Rambam because he always used to learn the Rambam. He says, but the Rambam's really the minority opinion over here. So he says he personally doesn't have the heart to paskin against the Rambam to ever to be matir abortion. But others are mekel on abortions because of this tshuva in the Torah's Chesed. I remember once there was a shaila, so someone, Rav Moshe Feinstein was still alive, but he was already very old. So someone else, Rav David Feinstein, what should they do? So he said, whatever you do, don't ask my father. Because he knew his father would be machmer. And in cases of Shas HaTchag, many rely on this tshuva from the Torah's Chesed. He was an ongoing. But the whole story is based on this week's Sedra. That from this week's Sedra, you see, Beferish, from the parsha of the Meivel Adas, that there's only a kom lebe derab minei, it mustn't yiv in a satan nefesh tachas nefesh, if the ishamu beris lost her life. But if only the uber, v'yotze yolade, the uber was killed, but the woman didn't lose her life, so it's beferish, that there's no kom lebe derab minei, because there's no chiyiv misa. But there has to be an isa deraisa. We don't accept the opinion that it's only the rabbanon that it's muta legamri. That's inacceptable. Because of the Gemara Svar Mi'ika Midi, it can't be, there isn't such a thing. That a Ben Noach is not allowed to do it, and a Jew is allowed to do it. So it must be that it's also for the Jews as well. There's a difficult marsha in the Chiddushi Agoda on Sanhedrin. The marsha says, why did Para call the Shifra and Pua, the Mialdos or Ivrios, and tell them that they should kill the Jewish baby, Risa Malhav 9? Why didn't he tell the Mitzrim? Mitzrim would be happy to do it. So he says, no, because Para knew that by the Mitzrim it's an Issa Ritzicha, so they're not going to do it. But by the Jews, there's no Issa Ritzicha. By the Jews, they're allowed to kill an Uber. So that's a very difficult mashal. It's not correct. But the Jews, there's also an Issa Deraisa. The only debate that the Rishonim have is, how serious is the Issa? Is it an Issa Chavola, or is it an Issa Ritzicha? If it's an Issa Ritzicha, like the Rambam says, the Ramosha says, the only Heter is if the baby is considered a right. It means if the mother's life is B'sakona. But if it's only an Issa Chavola, then whenever it's medically advisable to do the abortion, and according to the others, it would be muta. So certainly, when there's no big shas atchak, so of course it's a shayla from lo sirtzach. It's a shayla from lo sirtzach. So it's not right to be mekel. So certainly, when there's no shas atchak, you certainly follow what Rav Moshe said. It's a big shas atchak. That's the big debate.
At what stage of pregnancy does it become? At what stage of pregnancy does it become an issue?
Before the ninth month, there's room to be mekel, or some say even in the ninth month before she goes into labor.
What about the first month? What about the first month? The second month? That's what I mean.
Right, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that before the first 40 days are up, then for sure it's not an Uber. The Gemara says before 40 days, it's not considered an Uber. Moshe Feinstein is machmer even within the first 40 days. The Rav Soloveitchik thought that he would be prepared to be lenient within the first 40 days.
So from the time of conception?
Rav Moshe thinks from the time of conception. Right, it's already a problem. You're right.
We don't even know when the time of conception necessarily.
What?
We don't necessarily know when the time of conception.
Okay.
That's like the Catholics. Same as the Catholics.
Catholics have a chumre even if it's in a test tube. They hold that as an issue to see that the Jews have not accepted.
Is there any heter to go into a temple of Avodah Zarah if the government treats it like a tourist attraction and charges an entry fee?
Yeah, you're supporting the church. What does the money go to?
The government.
The government. But when you visit the Sistine Chapel, I think part of the money goes to support the Catholic Church.
I don't know.
Percentage.
I heard from one rabbi.